Well, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy
Easter. He is risen.
He is risen.
Hey, that was pretty good. Let's try it in Hebrew. I'm serious. That's what the early church, or the, you know, at the time of Jesus. So it actually sounds pretty cool, too. I say, HaMashiach kom. And you respond, Be'emet kom. Yeah? Okay, let's try it. HaMashiach kom. Okay, in Greek, so this is the early church. When everybody around the Roman Empire at the time, when they were speaking, the common people would have spoken Greek. So when they would pass each other Easter morning, they would say, Christos Anesti. And the other would respond, Alithos Anesti. So that's your part, right? So I say, Christos Anesti. Nice, all right, let's keep going. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of fun. Here's the deal, you guys. He's risen, and I know this to be true. I know it. It's not some theory or some story or some myth. It's a fact. It's a fact for me. And it should be for you. How do I know that he's alive? I know from eyewitnesses who spoke about it. I know because Jesus was a real person, documented in history. I know because it's recorded in the Bible, which is God's definitive word. But most of all, I know he's alive. Because I've met him. I've really met him. You should see your faces right now. You're like, really? Sandals and all, right? Showed up in your house. Here's the deal. It's not what you see. It's how you see it. You're going to see a lot of things in your life. You're going to see good things. You're going to see bad things. Really amazing things are going to happen to you. Really terrible things are going to happen to you. It's not what you see. It's how you see it. What do I mean by this? Think about, I'm just going to run you through a few stories in the Bible. Think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh and the Israelites. Pharaoh saw everything that the Israelites saw. But he didn't believe. You guys, he saw the rivers and water turn to blood. He wouldn't believe. He saw the 3 days of darkness where there was no light. You couldn't see anything. And he didn't believe. And then there's some kind of funny ones in the story. There were the frogs. Do you guys remember the frogs? So when I was younger, like 4 years ago, I was like, how could frogs be a plague? And then I was listening to a lecture series on the Old Testament, and they were saying, yeah, you know, frogs all over the place isn't really a plague. Think about Bismarck Mandan covered in frogs 3 feet deep. Like in your house, in your bathroom, on the roads. You can't walk, you can't drive. And then if you try to drive and plow them all over, in a few days, the stench of this city would be unbearable. What about the gnats? That's another one. It's like, oh, God, yeah, big tough God. He sent flies. Imagine 10 trillion gnats. You can't even breathe. They're so encumbering around you. He saw the Red Sea split in two, and he still didn't believe. Because it's not what you see, it's how you see it. And Pharaoh, when he saw that, and he saw that he was losing, his arrogance, his hardness of heart, as the Bible puts it, wouldn't allow him to believe. Because if he believed, he would have to follow the Jews into the desert. Give up his power. Give up his kingdom. And he refused. What about Judas? Judas was one of the 12. He saw every miracle. He saw Jesus raise a man who was born crippled and made him walk. He saw Jesus walk on water. He saw Jesus create eyeballs for a blind man out of dirt. And he still didn't believe. It's not what you see. It's how you see it. See, Judas, he looked at it and said, oh, this is some magician, some wonder worker. He didn't look at it and say, this is God. The other 11 said, this is God. And that's why at the Last Supper, I don't know if you ever catch this, during when you read this every year on Holy Thursday, it says, Jesus says, one of you will betray me. And 11 of them said, who is it, Lord? And they used the word God in Greek. And one of them looks at Jesus and says, "Surely it's not I, Rabbi." You see, when Judas looked at Jesus, he was just a teacher. What about Longinus? Do you guys know who Longinus is? Anybody know? Really? Nobody? Okay, good. Yes, he was the one that stabbed Jesus in the heart with a stake. Thank goodness he saved the whole congregation. He was a Roman soldier that was carrying out the dictates of Pontius Pilate. He was with everybody, scourging him, beating him, crowning with thorns, all that. And yet, at the end, he jabs him with the spear and says, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And converts. What about the other soldiers? They all saw it. They saw the same thing he saw. But they all ran away in fear. Here's another one. See if you can go 2 for 2. How about St. Dismas? Yeah, nice. Yes. How many of you knew that? Okay, well, that's better. A little bit better. So Dismas is the good thief. He's hanging on the cross on one side. The bad thief is over here. The bad thief looks at Jesus, and what does he see? It's not what he saw. It's how he saw it. He doesn't see a king, a messiah, a revolutionary. He sees a man who, if he is who he says he is doing nothing. If he is who he says he is, he can save himself and us. Why doesn't he do it? But Dismas looks at him, and how he saw Jesus was not a loser, criminal, crucified. He saw the King of Mercy. And in that moment, he stole one last thing before he died. He stole heaven. And Jesus said, "From this day forward, you will be with me in paradise." Pilate, Pontius Pilate, saw everything. Didn't convert. Why? Because he'd have to give up his post as Roman procurator. Mary Magdalene. You know, there's a lot of scenes we hear about one today. There's a lot of resurrection scenes. One of my favorite is Matthew. Just listen to this. Imagine what this must have been like. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. By the way, you know, the other Mary really gets the short end of the stick, right? She never gets named. It's like Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other Mary. How would you like to be known that for the rest of history, you know? Anyway, so Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the Lord's tomb at dawn. There was an earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were so afraid, they became like dead men. Can you imagine, you guys, what that would have been like? Mary Magdalene saw it. The other Mary saw it. They all believed. What about the soldiers? They did not believe. They were paid off. Money. Keep your mouth shut. And finally today we have John and Peter. They run to the tomb. Peter goes in. It says he looks, but doesn't believe. He saw something. But then John enters. And John, it says, he saw and believed. Because it says, very clearly, it says this. He saw the linen cloths lying there, as well as the cloth that covered the head of Jesus, folded up in a different place. Now, here's the thing, you guys. The gospel writers, they're not journalists. Every word they put into the gospel has meaning. Every word. So why does John, only John, put that little tiny detail into his gospel? Because it's not what he saw. It's how he saw it. Think about this just for a second. He knew that that cloth, the way it was folded in that particular spot, he knew that the only person that could have done that was the living Christ. The hands of Jesus folded that cloth. Now, why do I think that? Because here's the deal. As the apostles traveled from town to town evangelizing with Jesus, they wouldn't have stayed in hotels. They would have slept together outside or in maybe a big room if somebody let them stay inside. John, we know, is the beloved disciple. So we know John was always close to Jesus. He was right next to him at the Last Supper. The cross couldn't even keep John away from Jesus. He was standing at the foot of the cross, the only apostle, because he loved Jesus so much. He was such a devout disciple. There's a saying in the ancient world that said, a disciple should be, at the end of the day, the disciple should be covered in the dust of the rabbi. What does that mean? It means the disciple is following the rabbi so close that the dust the rabbi kicks up gets onto them. That's how close John wanted to be to Jesus. And so every morning when they would wake up, he would watch Jesus fold his clothes, put them into his pack. And there must have been a very, very particular way that he did it. Because when John enters into that tomb, it's not what he saw. It's how he saw it. You know, Jesus wants to do these things, not just for John, the great beloved apostle. He wants to do it for all of us. Little unique marks. His fingerprints are all over. But do you see them? Do you want to see them? Or is it going to cost you too much? Because if you really believe, if you really go all in, it's going to be too difficult. You know, after the resurrection, the apostles go out and they start preaching, right? What happens? Huge conversions. And they must have been like, man, we are killing it. Like, really killing. I mean, Peter's first homily, 3,000 people convert. You know, I preach every Sunday and we had 15 people convert into the church over a year. I mean, he must have got done with that homily and just drop the mic. But then everybody's like, well, this is amazing. Everybody's believing. And all of a sudden, what happens? James the apostle is dead. They killed him. Imagine what that would have been like. They killed James. That's John's brother. And all of a sudden, others start dying. And then the churches that they established are a mess. And there's lies and there's gossip. And these guys, they could have sat back and thrown up their hands and said, you know what? It just ain't working. But it's not what they saw. It's how they saw it. They said, you know what? We're going to have problems. He told us we were going to have problems. He said it wasn't going to be easy. He said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And so these men are not delusional as they go to their deaths, every single one of them. They are men walking in hope. Hope that there is more to this life than meets the eye. Hope that Jesus, if he can conquer death, he can conquer anything. And that's the great gift that we received this morning. We see everything in the light of the risen Christ. He's with us. We're not alone. He's here right now. But do you see it? Always remember, it's not what you see, it's how you see it. So keep asking, keep praying, keep your eyes open. And remember, things in this life are not just happening to you. It's much deeper than that. Live like this, and I promise you'll see him as well. God can control what you see, but he cannot control how you see it. Only you can do that.